Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves win over the Denver Nuggets. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marty Gellner from Bally Sports North is with me right now to break down the Timberwolves win over the Denver Nuggets. And Marty, this was a good one to get. Obviously, the Nuggets were woefully shorthanded in this game. They didn't even bring four of their five starters on the trip to Minneapolis. But we've also seen the Timberwolves squander way too many of these types of opportunities this season. It was really great to see them get what turned out to be a wire-to-wire win over the Nuggets.
Yes, it's one of those games where you're just a little nervous because you've seen the Wolves play down to competition, and Denver is, despite being the number one team in the West, when you are down four starters, which one of them is Nikola Jokic, and even just removing him makes a huge difference. But when you're down four, I mean, it's a completely different team. And the Wolves, to their credit, kind of had this run in the second quarter, a 25-5 run that built a cushion. And I never even got that anxious feeling of like, here we go. It never even got uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that run that you mentioned, that was the same thing I was going to mention. I think spanning like the end of the first to the first part of the second, it was 16-2. And then the extended run was much greater, like you said, and that was kind of it. And offensively for the Wolves, this was really just kind of a well-balanced attack. Nobody on the team scored more than 20 points. Ant led the way with 20. And it's like every time, the Wolves led by 11 after the first quarter. They led by 20 at halftime, 23 going to the fourth quarter. And there were a couple of times, especially third quarter, really, I guess the third quarter was the main frame in which the Nuggets kind of put up some resistance. But every time the Nuggets got it to 12 or 14 points or, thereabouts, the Wolves kind of pushed back. They had just enough composure. Finch called one or two timeouts at just the right times. Things that, we've said this already, the Nuggets didn't have all their guys, and so it never really felt in danger, but it still showed some progress that the Wolves didn't completely collapse like they have at some of these other times and against teams that have been shorthanded. I thought the Wolves showed enough composure in those moments, and especially in the third quarter, ended up actually leading by 23 going into the fourth, and it felt pretty comfortable.
Yeah, we have not had too many games like this season. It feels like there's always been a point that it gets a little too tight, a little too close for comfort. But the Wolves, like even Kyle Anderson, played such limited minutes because he's been dealing with the back issue again. But this was a game where Chris Finch just like, we don't need him, and we're not going to put him in again unless we absolutely need him. And the Wolves never had to put him back in. It just never got to the point where you had to put starters in or you had to give Ant some heavy time and ask him to try to carry this team for a stretch. Denver turned it over 22 times. The Wolves had 32 points off of those turnovers. It was a really one-sided, comfortable win, at least for the guys on the court, but for those of us watching, it was comfortable, wire-to-wire. Denver never led, and the Wolves' lead was never threatened once they established the lead.
Yeah, you mentioned the Nuggets turnovers. They turned it over more times than they actually had assists in this game. I think they had 19 assists, and you said 22 turnovers, which is incredible. And for the Wolves' part, they only turned it over 11 times, which is fine. And, the guys who have been the biggest culprits in that regard, D'Lo and Anthony Edwards, of course, the two guys that probably initiate the most offense other than Kyle Anderson, those two guys each only had two turnovers. They both played 30-plus minutes. Like, this was and the Nuggets aren't a very good defensive team this year, and they, again, shorthanded, but the Wolves still offensively, things seem to move pretty smoothly throughout the game. D'Lo finished with 18-10, only took 9 shots in this game, was super efficient. 18 points on 9 shots, we'll take that any day of the week. And Ant had 20 points, but shot just 1 of 5 on threes, just kind of had a fine game. We saw the return of Jordan McLaughlin. We should talk about that. He was on a minutes restriction, only played 12 minutes. Got a nice standing ovation from the Target Center crowd when he entered the game late in the first quarter, and then hit kind of a whirling dervish type layup with 1 second left on the clock in the first quarter for a really nice, a nice return basket. Had 3 assists, was a plus 16 in 12 minutes, and was a really fun return for Jordan McLaughlin.
It was, and he impacts the game in such a positive way. His pace is different, especially if he replaces D'Angelo Russell, who is a point guard that does a little more dribbling and a little more shot creating, whereas Jordan McLaughlin is just push, push, push all the time, push and pass. I mean, McLaughlin, one of the first things he did when he came in the game was swing the ball, like make one extra pass to Jalen Noel, who drove to the hoop for an and one. It might have been the first time McLaughlin touched the ball when he came into the game. It just an immediate positive impact. Speaking of Jalen Noel, that man was a plus 35 in this game. Incredible. He's had a lot of really good plus minuses when his box score has not been that good. It's kind of a weird juxtaposition. Somebody asked Finch about that after the game, and Finch was like, we're aware, and we've even tried to dig into the numbers to figure out what it is. What is the combination? What is the secret sauce that's given Jalen Noel these positives? But a plus 35.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
And only 27 minutes, too. I mean, that's a lot of minutes to play off the bench, but still, like, plus 35 in 27 minutes. And the box score actually did look pretty good for him. I mean, 16 points, 6 of 10 shooting. He had 4 assists and no turnovers, which is nice to see out of him, 4 rebounds. The Wolves bench as a whole, we can go there. I mean, Torian Prince played well. The shooting numbers weren't great for him. He was just 1 of 5 on 3, but he was also aggressive. Prince was getting into the paint and was a plus 23 in 26 minutes. He had 9 points, 4 rebounds in 26 minutes. Naz Reid had some nice stints early. Rudy Gobert was in some foul trouble in this game, only played 18 minutes. And I thought Naz played well. Nate Knight played well. Pretty much, you know, there was also some garbage times. So we got to see Wendell Moore Jr. and Josh Minot. This was Matt Ryan, I should mention, after you mentioned Kyle Anderson earlier, he went down with the back spasms again, didn't play in the second half. And Matt Ryan actually started the second half in his place, surely to keep Prince with the bench unit. Obviously, no Austin Rivers with the suspension. And so I'm sure that was the idea, was keep Prince with the primary bench unit, let Matt Ryan get some run with some of the starters. And he played pretty well overall, too. I mean, I think this was, like we've said this a couple of times, comfortable, well-rounded, however you want to slice it. I thought the bench was also a big part of that, of the consistency in this game.
For sure. And I feel like that's not a small deal when you're talking about kind of a one-sided blowout loss, because what you want to be able to do is rest some of your guys who play heavy minutes. Anthony Edwards leads the entire NBA in minutes played. And so you want to be able to go to your bench and not have the lead shrink in half. And all of a sudden now we got to go and we got to put these guys back in and we need to ask more of them. And you want to be able to give your starters a physical and mental break, where you just kind of, you hold the lead with your bench. And the Wolves did that tonight. And some of those guys got extended run, that the Matt Ryans and the Josh Minot getting a handful of minutes, and the Wendell Moore. Those guys, that you love to see that, especially because the Wolves are now going to start a 4-game road trip. They're going to go right back to Denver, and then they're going to play Utah. So it's going to be just a back-to-back, boom, right away. So, let's take a little rest, a little breather, wherever we can get it. The Wolves got a little bit of that tonight.
Let's talk about our title sponsors at Prize Picks. If you're wondering how Prize Picks works, it's really easy. You just pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available at Prize Picks. They offer projections on any sport that you watch. Of course, that includes the NFL. Of course, big game coming up this Sunday, next Sunday, a week from today. Of course, NBA games, as we get into baseball, hockey, any sport, they've got it there. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter our promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100. I want to talk a little about Rudy Gobert. We mentioned he only played 18 minutes and 16-8, and you know, it's not like it's not a really sexy box score line, and the Wolves won by 30 and he played 18 minutes. But I thought the way that he, this was admittedly other than DeAndre Jordan, a pretty small, you know, Nuggets lineup tonight, but I thought the Wolves connected on more lob passes kind of over defenders fronting Rudy in the post in this game or, you know, down low than I think I've seen almost all season. Certainly the most in a game, it felt like, where like every single one of his buckets, except for I think one putback, was basically a lob, not an alley-oop, not a lob dunk, but like a lob over a fronting defender, and the Nuggets rotations weren't fast enough. And Gobert got a couple, you know, a few easy dunks that way. And I mean, with no Kyle Anderson for much of the game too, and that was something that Anderson's maybe been the best Timberwolves player to do it, but McDaniels was passing the ball really well in this game. I thought the Wolves did a really good job of getting Rudy the ball.
Yeah, you know what, Ben? I had not even thought of that until you started talking about it, and then I'm kind of replaying a few of the plays in my head and going, oh, yeah. I wonder if that just didn't stand out to me because, as you mentioned, Rudy's box score was not anything that jumped off the page, but it was good. It was solid. It was certainly productive. It just wasn't 2020 night, so he kind of gets flying under the radar type of numbers like this, but I do think that's important, and the first name that jumped to my mind was Kyle Anderson, and if the Wolves were still connecting with him when Kyle was out of the lineup, that's also a real positive, because that is the one piece that is still a little bit of a work in progress, even though it's been much more productive. I think anytime you could take steps forward in figuring out how to get Rudy the ball, when to get Rudy the ball, where to get Rudy the ball, and they end in baskets and end in positivity, like, that's a great thing. So if the Wolves even took some small steps forward in that regard, especially if it was somebody initiating it other than Kyle Anderson, I mean, that's a wonderful positive. And who knows? I mean, maybe it has an immediate impact on Tuesday because we expect Denver to be at full strength, maybe without Kentavious Caldwell Pope, because he did sprain his ankle last night. But those other three, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, I would fully expect those three to play. So, I mean, you need everything you can out of Rudy. So tonight, some positive minutes just help keep pushing that band forward. I mean, that's a good thing anytime you get it.
Yeah, and nobody on the Wolves had to play more than 32 minutes, and Jaden McDaniels played 32 minutes. He led the Wolves in minutes and had 14 points on 5 of 10 shooting. He was aggressive looking for a shot in this game, had 6 assists and no turnovers, and I haven't looked yet to see what his career high is in assists and, like, look at his game log and see what does this year look like, because McDaniels typically isn't initiating offense for the Wolves, but his decision-making in this game was really good, and I'm just quickly scrolling through his game log. He has one other game this season where he had 6 assists, and he had one five assist game and 1 6 assist game coming into this one. He had 6 assists, no turnovers. I thought the decision making was good. Of his 10 field goal attempts, none were 3-point attempts. He was doing a lot of pump fake and driving. We saw Torian Prince do a lot of that in this game too. McDaniels had some nice moves, and it's these flashes that we get where it's like, is he unlocking more offensively? Can he be like a true, you know, third option, or realistically on this Wolves team, what's Towns is back, a fourth option or even fifth option? But there just seems to be more and more of his game that kind of keeps coming out, and he played great defense too. Of course, there's that clip going around of him shutting down Vlatko, Ken Carr, and I mean, like, that was just a weird where Ken Carr was like on an island and just decided, I guess I'll go for it, and it didn't go well for him. But like, this was just a really strong McDaniels game that's easy to kind of miss because he didn't lead the team in scoring, and you know, it was just kind of a well-rounded Wolves game. But McDaniels, I thought, was really, really good.
And I thought Chris Finch had a kind of an interesting observation after the game, and somebody asked him about McDaniels, and he said McDaniels has added another dribble to his game. Like, he used to be just a one dribble or a two dribble guy, and now he's added that extra dribble or two, and how much it's opened up his game. And that Finch said he still thinks he's best off the catch, just boom, catch and shoot, maybe baseline. But the fact that he's added an extra couple of dribbles and the effectiveness off of those was something that Finch said he's noticed in McDaniels just making strides in general on the offensive end. And considering how far he is in the defensive side of things, like how good he is, how advanced he is, especially for a third-year player, Jim Pete talks all the time about how Jaden McDaniels better be on all NBA defensive team ballots because he is that good, and we keep seeing examples of why he should be. So anytime he can add to the offensive side of his game and kind of help that balance out, I mean, that's huge for the Timberwolves. And you're right, it was a good offensive game along with the very typical solid defensive game for McDaniels.
Yeah, to your point about the all defensive team, McDaniels has guarded, you know, basically the high usage player on the opponent virtually all the time when he's on the floor. If you look at all the numbers regarding, like, B-ball index does this thing, like, what tier players is he guarding? And it's I don't have him in front of me, but it's all tier one and tier two basically for Jaden McDaniels this year. Yep. He's guarding guys who are initiating offense, trying to score primary scorers and ball handlers for opposing teams, and he continues to do that. Of course, the Wolves take on Denver Tuesday night. That's an 8 p.m. Central tip. It was originally 9. It got moved back to 8. It's no longer TNT. So we will go live following that game about 45 minutes following the conclusion of Wolves Nuggets, as we always do. And then, of course, the schedule ahead, Utah Wednesday. That's a back-to-back Denver-Utah on Tuesday, Wednesday, both on the road after this 6-game homestand is now over. And then Memphis on Friday. So it's a difficult week ahead. Again, we go live on the Lockdown Sports Minnesota YouTube channel about 45 minutes after each and every game. You can also listen to the audio on Lockdown Wolves on any of whatever your favorite audio platform is. You can find the audio after the fact if you can't watch us live. Otherwise, we'll see you Tuesday. A big thank you for watching, a big thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.